Please be seated. Sometimes, as humans, we have the wrong perspective on things. Sometimes the way we see it isn't quite right with reality. There's a story that Thomas Wheeler, CEO of Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance Company, tells on himself. He said the story of one time he and his wife were driving along the interstate highway when he noticed their car was getting low on fuel. So they exited the highway and at the next exit and found a rundown gas station with just one gas pump. Now this was back in the days when the gas station attendant would come out, some of you might remember this, would come out and he would pump the gas for you and check your oil. This happened during those days. So he asked the fellow to fill up the gas tank and to check his oil. While he was doing that, because they had been driving for a while, stretched his leg and walked around the station. When he returned to the car, he noticed that the attendant and his wife were engaged in a rather animated conversation. Now, when he got there, the conversation stopped and he paid the attendant. But as he was getting back into the car, he saw the attendant wave and heard him say, "It was great talking to you. Good to see you again." As they drove out of the gas station, Wheeler asked his wife if she knew this man. She readily admitted that she did. In fact, they had gone to high school together and they had dated steadily for about a year. Wheeler said, "Well, it's lucky that I came along. Otherwise, you might be the wife of a gas station attendant instead of the wife of a CEO." His wife replied, "My dear, if I had married him, he'd be the CEO and you would be the gas station attendant." Sometimes we think we've got the right perspective on an issue, but we could be off. Jesus understood this propensity that we have to get things wrong sometimes, especially when things are spiritual. The Lord continues parables to the crowds and to his disciples in the gospel reading this week. There are two primary themes that I'd like to talk about in the first four parables of our gospel reading. The first theme is illustrated by the first two parables, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast and flour. The theme is simple. The kingdom of heaven is going to start small, but it's going to grow. This is important for the disciples to realize up front because they had been expecting the kingdom of heaven to come in big and to be enormous. They expected the Messiah to raise an army, to drive out the Romans, to bring prosperity and riches and power to the Jewish nation. But Jesus is telling them, no, the kingdom's going to start very, very small, mustard seed size small. It will look inconsequential. But like the mustard seed, it will grow into a tree. What's interesting about the mustard seed is that it does grow large enough for birds to make nests in it, but it's also, quite frankly, like a weed. It reproduces itself so quickly that in Palestine, it's regarded almost as a weed because it takes over the area in which it's planted with all sorts of little mustard plants and shrubs and then small scraggly trees. And it's kind of a pain. And that's the point, right? Not that the kingdom is a pain, but that it grows, starts off very small in a seed that's small enough to be able to lodge under your fingernail, and yet it grows and spreads all over. The next example is that of a woman mixing leaven or yeast into a large batch of flour. The amount of flour maybe the most surprising element of the parable, which is not entirely evident in most English translations. Three measures is the usual translation for the Greek. But three measures of flour is like a little bit over a bushel of flour. That's a ridiculously large amount of flour. Speaking in modern kitchen terms, you need 100-quart Hobart mixer with a dough hook as big as your leg to knead it. Translating it into kitchen measures, 1.125 bushels is 144 cups of flour. Presuming that we use a basic recipe for white bread that uses 5.5 cups of flour, 144 cups is enough to make 26 batches of bread, 2 loaves each, giving us a total of 52 loaves, each weighing 1.5 pounds. If we're frugal but not stingy, we can get 16 slices out of a loaf, yielding 832 slices of bread. That's enough for 416 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And we'd need 33 jars of jelly, 64 jars of peanut butter. In other words, the kingdom of God's not thinking in terms of small terms. Jesus is talking about enough bread to feed perhaps a small village by this one woman. This little bit of yeast that moves in and through the flour is what will change and affect all that it's around. It's enormous impact, way beyond its small beginning. So with these first two parables, we see the apparently small and insignificant having a huge impact in the kingdom of heaven. The next two parables are linked together as well. The first story, we see a fellow who accidentally finds a treasure in the field. This actually doesn't sound so, this actually isn't quite so far-fetched as it may sound. In a day when there was no banks, when there were many invasions of foreign armies, it wasn't uncommon for a wealthy person to go and hide his treasures out in his backyard or in a field when there was an invasion coming into the land. And then, so that after the invaders have gone away, he can go dig it up. But if during the invasion he's killed or he's captured and deported, that treasure that he put into the ground lies there unnoticed and unknown until it's found again by accident, as what happens in the story Jesus is talking about. And when the treasure is found, this fellow scrapes together all his money, selling whatever he has in order to come up with the price, because he knows that even though he loses everything that he has now, it'll be worth it when he gets that field with its treasure. In the second story, we see the fellow who knows pearls and knows what he's looking for, and when he finds this superb and wonderful pearl, he also sells all that he has in order to own it. He sells all that he has because he knows the value of what he's found. In the first case, it's by accident. In the second case, this fellow is looking for this treasure. And what's the point? Clearly, the kingdom of heaven is the treasure that's worth everything. Some people stumble across the treasure of the gospel by accident. When they realize what it is, they give their entire lives to following Jesus. Others are actively looking for something. They're looking for truth. They're looking for hope, looking for some meaning in their lives. And then they hear the gospel. They hear that God came down to earth in human form to save us, to save humanity, save them personally, and to help them be reconciled to God. They realize this and are overwhelmed with the understanding of how much God loves us. And then they give up everything to follow Christ. We are given two examples of people confronted with the gospel in the scriptures. We have the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, but went away sad because he didn't want to give up everything to follow him. Then we have the man Saul, who became Paul the Apostle. Paul later said, "Whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but having one that comes through faith in Christ." Paul was a man who, once he found this treasure, gave up everything in order to have it. These four short parables are first to encourage us, and second to challenge us. First, we can be encouraged that though it may seem as though our efforts are small, it may seem that what we do in spreading the gospel, the good news about Jesus, may be insignificant. We need to realize that God is the one who is overseeing the matter, and he will give what we do increase as he chooses. And secondly, we need to realize that what we know and believe is of enormous value. It's worth far more than any riches this world can ever give us, because it's eternal, and because it brings us to God and in relationship to God. As I pointed out in the beginning, sometimes it's easy to have wrong perspectives. Jesus wants us to have the right perspective. He wants us to understand how valuable the gospel is, the message that can transform our lives, how important it is, how it's worth far more than what we have here on earth. So let us continue to spread the news of his kingdom, and let us realize anew the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Amen.